Don, thank you so much. Let's express our appreciation to Don Bryan Jr. for leading us so well today. Great job, great job. And good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And to our new members, we're really glad to have you and the young Hardison couple over here. I actually went to high school with his parents 15 years ago, and it was just... incredible how these 15 years have passed. And, okay, everybody, glad to see you today. Welcome. Starting a brief three-week series today called Generous. I don't know how many of you remember the TV show ER? It was on like for 15 years, and you know, I was not an avid watcher of ER, but you know, I'm slightly familiar with some of the characters. And one of the key characters was Dr. Green, Anthony Edwards. And in his final scene, basically on the show, his character was a good character. And as a child, he grew up in Hawaii. He was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And he decided that since he was born and raised in Hawaii, he wanted to die in Hawaii. And so he goes there with his wife and his daughter. And towards the end of his life, he gives to his daughter, if you will, his final prescription on life. This is what he said. I was thinking of something I should have told you a long time ago, but never have. Generosity. Be generous with your time, with your love, with your life. Be generous always. I really believe that to live a life of generosity is the best life you can live. And throughout the Bible, God encourages his people to have a default of generosity. That's just sort of our go-to mode. We're generous certainly with our resources, but we're generous with our words of encouragement, generous with our readiness to help, generous with our eagerness to serve, generous with our time. We're not known for being stingy and miserly. You know, miser and miserable come from the same root word. But rather, we are known for being generous in heart. What was it Jesus said? His words quoted in the book of Acts. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Proverbs 11, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so generosity then is something that is good for you. Now, may I just ask, are you a generous person? Would the people closest to you say, she's generous. She's generous in heart. He's generous in... Now, don't equate generosity with being, you know, frivolous in terms of resources. My wife is, when it comes to finances, she is absolutely meticulous. You've heard me say over and over, I know where every dollar goes. She knows where every cent goes. But she's incredibly generous. Meticulous, but incredibly generous with her time, with her money. Early on, when we got married, I mean, she was the one saying, the very first part of what we get goes to God. Very first, before anything else, goes to God, and loves to do that. Always asking, how can we do more? Generous with her heart, with her words of encouragement, with her readiness to serve, but very meticulous as well. Not too long ago, 2 years ago, a book was written called Passing the Plate that took a look at the generous patterns of American Christians. And here was the synopsis of the book. You ready? Here it is. Most American Christians are remarkably ungenerous. That 20%, get this, of church-going American Christians never give anything to anyone. They spend every cent on themselves. And a majority give very little. Are you a generous person? I will tell you this. You are surrounded today by some of the most generous people I know. Are you in that camp? Am I? Well, I think we all want to be. All right, let me put this up on the screen. I think we all want to be generous, but it's not easy. But I start by reminding you that generosity is God's style. We serve a God who is incredibly generous. And in fact, the plot of the Bible, with all of its zigs and zags, is the generosity of God. How does it begin? In the beginning, God created. He didn't have to do that, but he created something wonderful and beautiful. How does the Bible end? The very last phrase in the Bible is, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with all God's people." Amen. There is a very concise description of salvation history in the book of 2 Corinthians as the Apostle Paul is encouraging people to have a generous heart. Here's what he says. "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, let that stay up there for a moment. Jesus was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He's saying, our God lacks absolutely nothing, but our God was generous to become a human being. He was generous to go to the cross. He was generous to pay our debt. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Why? So that he might generously give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that he might generously give us the gift of salvation and eternal life. And the most generous gift ever was he gave us himself. Jesus Christ is the most generous giver ever. And so when we are generous, we're reminding ourselves and others that we serve a generous God. And the whole tone of Scripture is, Ronnie, you shouldn't be generous because, you know, think of somebody. Be generous because, not because you have to, you get to. You get to. If you believe that God is generous, you can be generous. You believe God's kind to you, you can be kind. You believe God's good, you can be good. Because you get to be. We serve a generous God who's incredibly generous to you and me. Now, second thing I want to underscore is that generosity can be, it can become your go-to mode. It may not be today, but it can become your go-to mode. And you know what I mean when I say go-to. Every athlete in the room, you know what I'm talking about. If you play football, if you've ever played football, you've got a go-to play. It's third and one. We got to get a yard. You're running your best running back behind your best lineman. You need a bucket. You got a go-to play in basketball. You want to set up your best shooter, and you want her to be in their favorite spot. You have a go-to play. They have a go-to shot. Christians can have a go-to default mode of generosity. I love this description of the early church, Acts chapter 2. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. I hope that you will aim to allow generosity to become your own gravitational pull. Now, I've got a third thing I want to underscore. Some of us in this room need to get deadly serious about greed. I do not say that with any kind of condemning tone. I do say it with a word of pastoral concern. That some of you in this room need to get deadly serious about greed. Several years ago, when we were much younger, I came into the house one evening with my wife standing in an awkward stance, pointing. She said, "There is a snake in our bedroom." She did not say, "Ronnie, would you ever so gingerly try to maneuver the snake so that we can keep it over in one section of the house?" She said, "Kill it now. Bring out the big guns. We don't want to coddle it. We don't want to..." Hey, how you doing? Great to see you. She lives overseas, okay? It's not like, hey, you hadn't been here in 3 weeks. Wasn't it? No, not that. It's not like she said, hey, coddle it, just kind of. No, we're going to kill this thing because if we don't kill it, something bad's going to happen. Jesus said this when it comes to greed. He said, beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Now, he never said that about adultery. You know when you're committing adultery. He never said that about murder. You know when you're committing murder. But greed, it's so subtle. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, you know, I think I may be greedy. I think I'm materialistic. He says, you better watch out. It is so subtle. But a person is a financial fool who makes money the center of their life. He says, life's not measured by how much you own. And a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. And so again, I say this not as a word of condemnation, but simply as a word of pastoral concern. Some of us in this room may need to get deadly serious about greed. And honestly, maybe the best sign that I am materialistic is that I'm sort of like an alcoholic. I deny that it's even possible for me. And I'm not willing to take a look. I think all of us ought to operate by the hypothesis that I may be infected. And the only way to deal with greed is to become a generous person. Now, let me put something else up here on the screen. Your resources need to be blessed, and only Jesus can do that. I want us to take a look at a quick little story here that's told in all four Gospels. I'll start by asking this question. Have you ever been somewhere where the preacher talked way too long? And here's the answer that you need to give. Not here. Not here. All right? But this is a scene where Jesus is preaching, and he's preaching a long time. They started early in the morning. Here they are around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is preaching. He's going on and on and on. They have missed the kickoff. He is still preaching and teaching. They have now missed the kickoff for the second half. And the disciples are trying to find a way to get Jesus to wrap things up. I mean, this is my take as I'm kind of going to read this story. And one of the disciples comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I absolutely love what you're preaching. I love this new sermon series that you're preaching all in one day here. And we love what you're doing. And I could sit here and I could listen all day. I could listen all, but the people are getting hungry. It's not me. Not me. Now, I could listen all, but the people are hungry. And so here's what happens. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples come to him. They say, hey, you got to send these people away so they can find food. There's nothing to eat here in this remote place. But Jesus says, you feed them. You feed them. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. You're expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd? For there were about 5,000 men there. And if there were 5,000 men, you've got a crowd of some 15 to 20,000 people. Jesus replied, tell them to sit down in groups of 50 each. So all the people sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven. He blessed it. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so they could distribute it. Now, if I'm a disciple, if I'm one of the 12, we've got 15 to 20,000 people. I got 2 fish. I got 5 biscuits. I'm whispering to my buddies, take small pieces. Chiclet size. Don't take. We're in trouble here. But what happens? Whatever was brought to Jesus kept being multiplied. It just kept being distributed. People kept being served. Jesus kept being honored. And when it was all said and done, get this, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Why 12? What a coincidence. Jesus wanted every apostle to get a doggy bag to remind them how things get multiplied with God's touch on it. He takes our generosity, he touches it. Some of it's going to boomerang right back to you. But some of it's going to be multiplied in service and ministry to other people. And God blesses, here's another thing I want to underscore, when you offer the first part to him, when generosity comes first. Proverbs chapter 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Generosity first. A lot of people have read the Old Testament and they're a little concerned about, you remember in the Old Testament, you know, got Cain and Abel. Remember how Cain brought an offering to God and Abel also brought an offering to God, and God was pleased with Abel's offering, but he wasn't particularly pleased with Cain's offering. And people wonder about that. Well, you know, why God was pleased with one and not the other? Can I read this from Genesis 4? Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought, notice the phraseology, some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. What was the difference in the offering? It wasn't that one guy brought an animal and the other guy brought fruit. It was that Cain did what? Brought some of the fruit from his fields. That's what Cain did. It brought some. Did he do something? Yeah, he did something. What did Abel do? Fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. Cain said, generosity last. Abel said, generosity first. One guy once went to Peter Marshall, who was the chaplain in the U.S. Senate, and said, look, I know the Bible teaches generosity, but I am a very, very wealthy man. There's no way I can be generous on my extreme wealth. I mean, it would just be outrageous. Come on. Peter Marshall said, you know, I can appreciate that. I really can. I mean, you could just totally underwrite so many things. It would be incredible what you could do. I tell you, let's pray about this. And so Peter Marshall, I kid you not, he gets together with this man and he says, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would reduce this man's salary back to the place where he can afford to be generous. Remember Solomon? God comes to Solomon and he says, ask for whatever you want and I'll provide it. I want to read this out of 1 Kings 3. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. You remember this? Remember how Solomon said, I want wisdom. Now, I've got a question. Why did God show up to Solomon, of all people, and say, ask me for whatever you want, and I'll provide it? What had Solomon done earlier to posture himself for just such a proposition? One verse earlier, you read what happened just before all this. The king Solomon went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings. He only needed to offer one. But he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And God said, I pay attention to generosity. I honor generosity. When generosity first. And you know, the New Testament comes to us, and New Testament never gives anybody some kind of, hey, you need to be generous with this percentage, you need to do this. It simply says you need to feel good about it, you need to make a decision about it, and you need to think generosity first. My wife and I have had an interesting week, interesting last 10 days. My daughter and son-in-law have been out of town, and we have been watching our 4-year-old and 2-year-old grandsons for 10 days. It's been rich, absolutely rich. And to those of you in this building who still have young children at home, I salute you, I applaud you. It's been 20 some odd years since we've had children in the house that age where you have to be on, fully focused. My easiest day this past week was my 14-hour work day. That was my easiest day, where when I got in, the kids were in bed, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But, hey, I've been a fun week. I've learned how to play the Wii. Mario Kart. Played Mario Kart. Golf. Wii baseball. Anyway, I've been back into, you know, bedtime and bath time. Doing bath time and bedtime. And my grandson Jackson, one of his favorite books is Zack the Tax Man. You read Zack the Tax Man? I highly, highly recommend it. It's based on the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. I'd like to read it to you, if I may. Just cuddle up. Get your blankie. This is the story of Big Zack in Jericho. And Zack, growing up in Jericho, he didn't like school much. He didn't get to play basketball. He was kind of short, and the kids would tease him. They would say, "Snorty, snorty, Zacchaeus is a shorty." And they'd laugh a lot, thinking they were very funny, but this made Zack sad. And then Zack got mad. And then Zack got even, because Zack was good with numbers. And he told the other kids, "Let me do your math homework for you." And he had charged them 10 cents for each problem, and Zack made a lot of money at school, and he didn't have very many friends, but he didn't care. And when Zacchaeus grew up, he was so good with numbers, he became a tax collector, but he would collect a little for himself. $1 for the king, $1 for me, $1 for the king, $5 for me, $1 for the king, $10 for me. But one day Jesus came to Jericho, and Zack wanted to see Jesus, but nobody liked him. They wouldn't let him come to the front. He was too short. He couldn't jump up. And so Zack climbed up into a sycamore tree. And people laughed, and they looked at Zacchaeus up there, and they said, "Snorty, snorty, Zacchaeus is a shorty." But Jesus came closer, and he said, "Zack, hurry down. I want to come to your house today." And people got mad, and they said, "Why would Jesus go to shorty, snorty, greedy Zack's house?" But Zack was no longer sad, mad, and he didn't feel a need to get even. And Zack said to Jesus, "I tell you what, I'm going to give half of my money to the poor, and to anyone that I've cheated, I will repay them 4 times as much." And Jesus celebrated, and he said, "Zack really belongs to God's family. Zach said, I've got a brilliant plan. Let's all go back to my place for lunch. What's the story of Zach the tax man? You too can start the journey to generosity today. Just like Zach the tax man, you too have that wonderful ability to make positive changes in a godly direction. That's called repentance. And you will never, ever be able to outdo God in terms of generosity. And to live a life of generosity is the best life you can possibly live. All right, why don't you take a moment and look in your order of worship. You'll see a communication card. In that communication card, there's a place for you to indicate that you'd like to talk to somebody here about membership with our church or being baptized here. There's a place on your membership card where you can write out a prayer request. We would love to hear from you. And in just a moment, we will receive and collect those communication cards. You take your time, fill that out, and as soon as you do, just pass that to the ends of the aisles. Don, let me ask you and worship team to be coming back to the stage, and let me lead us in a brief prayer, and then we're going to call it a morning. But remember, you too today can re-engage, you can begin again that journey to generosity. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for the abundance you've brought to us. And I ask that you would free us from the tyranny of greed, of loving money, stuff, and power too much, and of worshiping that rather than worshiping you with those resources. And Lord, I pray that we will be people who are content and people who are incredibly generous. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.